The FIR Podcast Network presents Amp Up Your Social Media, an audio podcast that brings you insights and ideas from the leading practitioners of social media marketing.
Amp Up Your Social Media is sponsored by GaggleAmp. Empower your employees, partners, and resellers to share your social media messages. And by SafeLinks. SafeLinks automatically tells you when links you put into social media go bad, so you can take action.
Here's your host, Glenn Gaudette.
Welcome back to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. My name is Glenn Gaudette, and today we're speaking with Becky Livingston. Becky, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Glenn.
Becky, can you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm Becky Livingston. I've been in marketing and technology for over 25 years. I own a marketing firm called Penheel Marketing, and we work with social media and digital marketing for small businesses and CPA firms.
Awesome. And what was your first exposure to social media where you had that aha moment that, oh, this is really good for business?
I think I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but it was really with LinkedIn in 2004. So I feel like an old geezer when it comes to social media because I've been doing this for over 10 years now. And LinkedIn was definitely the first aha moment I had. And when I saw that platform starting to be built, I used to be a programmer. So this was a very interesting way for me to move into another platform. And I saw LinkedIn come out and I said, oh my goodness, this thing is going to take off and hang on for a while. And by 2007, I had decided at that point to already start thinking about the business that I was going to be moving into. So I was really building my networks. I was really starting to blog. I was really starting to get out there and use the social platforms that were available in the mid-2000s prior to Twitter and Facebook and some of those other ones that were really out there. But LinkedIn was my beginning.
And I have to ask, how have you seen the progression within LinkedIn in terms of the features and the offerings compared to what your hopes and expectations for the platform have been?
Some things I like what they've been doing, especially the last year. They've been changing things quite a bit compared to what they had done the first 9 years. Mm-hmm. Some things I wish they still had around, like polling. I loved polling and answering questions. It was a great way to influence your search engine ranking, which I wish they still had because I, as a marketing person, I love to take polls and do surveys. That I wish they still had. I do love the influence in their reporting efforts. They've really stepped up there with insights and advertising opportunities and sponsored updates versus, you know, more like Google AdWords kind of ads. Really like what they're doing in that space. And they're actually pretty responsive when it comes to asking questions for help.
Yeah. Obviously we work with them. They're actually a customer of ours as well. So not only do we integrate with them, but we just have a really exciting opportunity with them to better understand even what their culture is. And I've had the opportunity to be out there, and I'll tell you, they're just beginning. They're on a rocket ship. It's really awesome to see.
I agree. Their saved search feed, the stuff you can do on the free platform is really good. People just don't take advantage of it. There's so many things out there on their free version. And then when you get the premium version, if you're in recruiting, forget it. There's a ton of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So tell me a little bit about, you know, when someone comes to you or you reach out to a potential client, what's the discussion like? What's the big thing that pops up where you can help them out with?
Most of our clients are CPA firms. So that is a regulated industry, meaning they can't advertise per se about their services. They have to be very careful on how they state things, how information is shared. Everything needs to be approved before it's pushed out there. So with LinkedIn, because it's a B2B network per se, more than like a Facebook or a Pinterest where it's more consumer based, you have an opportunity to use the platform based on what their needs are. With our CPAs, it's usually about increasing lead generation, increasing website traffic, making sure that they have a dedicated resource, and focusing on a niche area in social media that will help them to reach their business goals. Many of them come to me and say, I want to be on Facebook. And my first question is why? It doesn't make sense for CPAs to be on Facebook. It makes sense for them to be on a network that's going to be an opportunity for them to increase prospecting list, to do searches, to generate networks, and do things like that.
So you're in a very interesting place because you're dealing with companies that are normally technology adoption laggards, right?
Yeah,
they're usually on the tail end of things. But not only that, just from a communications point of view, I mean, how many CPA firms have you seen doing anything amazing on a website, right? And so now they come to you and there's all these new things to take advantage of, yet they're also, you know, have this layer of regulation that's already built into the framework of the organization. How do you get through that?
A lot of it is understanding the profession and knowing what they can and cannot do. So, and that's a great topic for discussion, because any industry that's regulated, legal, medical, accounting, those professions, people have to be extremely careful about what is shared. Confidentiality, client information, that any of those types of things can put someone in very big hot water. So I have to understand the regulations around social media. I have to understand the FINRA, which is federal. I have to understand the SEC regulations to help them understand what they can and cannot do, helping them to create policies, helping them to become educated and comfortable with what they're doing, and making sure that I don't put them in harm's way. Because it is, after all, I'm managing their brand online. And I have to be, it's more than just a consumer brand where, yeah, people are going to say, yes, we love your stuff or we hate your stuff. This is a regulated industry as well. So it makes a bit of a difference.
And so when you have your first discussion with them, what is it like? I mean, is it, because I have this vision in my head, given my own experience with our CPAs, right? Mm-hmm. That it's just, you know, they're really focused on an area of business, which is really important, right? Just understanding the complexities around accounting and taxes. And then all of a sudden, there's this communication component that they're trying to add to it. And it's not intuitive to them.
Correct.
Are you dealing typically with the CPAs themselves, the managing partners, or have they actually, before they've come to you, invested in somebody who's doing their kind of corporate marketing?
More times than not, it's the partners or managing partners coming to me directly. Mm. So that's nice, because those are the people who make decisions. I don't want to work with six staff layers underneath who have to go and do the chain of command.
Right.
The reason I want to speak to the partners and managing partners is because when you start thinking about the strategy around this, you have to align the social media goals with the firm's goals. And sometimes different layers of people don't always know what the goals are. So I need to know, really, is it to grow your firm's leads by 3-5% every month over the next quarter? Is it to increase website traffic? Is it to increase exposure into a new market space? Is it to generate leads in a new geographic region? I have to know those end goals, because all of those very specific things influence how we write social media, where we're posting it, and what type of tools we're using to reach those audiences. So our first discussion, usually I try to get out of them what their business goals are. And if they don't know what their business goals are, the conversation is very small and is very short. I can usually, because I'm grasping at straws here, I'm trying to figure out where they want to go and how I can help them. If they know the business goals, then I can identify with them platforms that will make sense for their target audience. Let's say, for example, you're an accountant, but your clients are in the advertising agencies, or they're filmmakers, or they work with dentists. I have to understand who their clients are to be able to speak the way that their clients speak, in then taking that to another space and saying, how does it align with the firm's goals?
Right. And then from there, let's assume somebody actually does have some defined goals and what they're looking for, whether it be, you know, I want some new leads in this area or just new leads in general. How do you then work with them to craft a strategy? And what are the components of that?
We begin by doing research. Either if they've done the research, we want the buyer persona. We want to know who is your target audience. If they don't know, we start asking them questions. And we have a whole list of questions we ask to get that buyer persona out of them. If they know who their target market is and who their buyer is, we can offer them research. That's usually the first element that we take care of, because their research may be not as broad as we can make ours. They might not have the resources available to them that we have available to us. So first thing is research. If that component is already done, the next step we take is we have to know your business goals and make them realistic. say, for example, I've had customers say to me, I want to increase sales by 50% over the next 6 months. And I'm like, are you crazy? If you could possibly do that, I want your business strategy because I want to increase my sales by 50% over the next 6 months. So, you know, we have to really help them to understand what a real goal is. And is it realistic? Is it true? Is it something that's attainable? And then we kind of back that up and ask, what have you been doing in the past? Let's look at your history. Are you capable of doing these kinds of things? Looking at the timeline, the resources, the management, the budget, helping them to understand social media is technically free, or so people think, but there is a resource management issue and there's also a time component. Those two things are not free.
Right.
So we help them to understand and go through that process of, let's look at your research. Who is your buyer? Let's look at your history. What have you been doing? Then we look at how do we put that plan together to help you reach the goals that you want through social media, digital marketing, website, whatever tools they may have available to them.
So, I mean, to a large degree, it's kind of marketing 101. Let's get down to the basics. We'll define who the audience is, and then we'll figure out exactly what the message is and how we get that message out to these folks. What is the nuance when it comes to adding the social media level that you see, particularly with the CPA firms?
Helping to talk them off the edge. They often, yeah. I mean, you know, people read everything. I mean, if I have people always asking me, well, you're in social media, do you know about this platform? I've never even heard of some of these
right.
things.
Yeah.
And they'll read about it and they'll say, hey, I think I need to be on Snapchat. And I'll say, yeah. Oh my gosh, why would you need to be on Snapchat? Are you trying to reach the pre-college audience for some reason? And helping them to understand. So that's why it's important for us to be there to help them talk off the edge. They always come to me and say, I need to be on Facebook. And yeah. I say, why? You do not need to be on Facebook.
We see that all the time. I mean, you know, one of our biggest competitors is just market confusion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I hear this at times. Oh, well, we already have Hootsuite, so we don't need you. And I'm thinking, okay, well, Hootsuite's a partner of ours, so you can actually use them together, and they do very different things.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, you know, with this kind of clientele, once you kind of get past that, you know, the educational component of social media, what are the key elements that follow on to that from a social perspective? Because, you know, I kind of put it in a few buckets. I put, you know, it's certainly the medium, you know, what networks are you going to use? There's also the content bucket.
Absolutely.
Who's going to be creating the content? How is that content going to be packaged and delivered? Those kinds of things. So how do you approach that?
We definitely talk about that in our beginning stages because many of them don't think they have content. And I will say, do you do any presentations? Have you ever written an article for a magazine or a newsletter or your journal of society? I mean, do you have content that's available to you that we can break up and use in different ways? And I write about this a lot about create it once and post it many times.
Right.
So yeah. you take a blog article that has 5 tips in it. Those 5 tips can now become 5 2-minute videos. Those 5 tips can now become a tip sheet that becomes a downloadable element for inbound marketing efforts. Those 5 tips can become a slide deck that you use at another presentation somewhere. It's all from one blog article. It doesn't take a ton of effort to create the other pieces that supplement that. We definitely talk about inbound marketing and content development because even though you may be sharing, which is the social piece of social media, there's the media piece. You still need to have the content of your own. Yeah, it's great to share everybody else's content, usually about a 70-30-80-20 rule. You share 80%, keep 20% your own. But you have to have the other parts that are your own, or you're driving traffic to everybody else.
Right, yeah.
So that's definitely a big element. The next step is reporting and telling the story. I often talk to people about, because our firm does everything from website development to social media, marketing, strategy, reporting, and helping you to understand the story. And I think that's the biggest challenge for marketers today is understanding the story. You might be able to say, yes, the blog was clicked on 500 times, it was shared on Google Plus and Facebook and LinkedIn and blah, blah, blah. But what's the story there? How did it impact anything? If you can't understand the analytics and know what the story is telling you, then you're kind of just not getting the whole thing. Our goal is to help them to understand the story.
Yeah. And stories usually have like an arc, right? You know, if you think of the arc of a story. And I'm curious, from a CPA perspective, what are some of those arcs that you see out there?
Some of the arcs that we see are engagement, meaning people contacting our clients to create a lead. People who are commenting on a blog. For example, I started writing a CPA's blog about 6 months ago. This month, he finally got 2 comments on his blogs. He was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And I said, yeah, one of them's a lead even. He's thrilled. He's finally starting to see how it works and how now the ball is in his court. I said, okay, you've got the lead. Now you have to go get the lead. I'm handing it to you. Now you have to go get it. So the arc is the gear up. Let's get all the pieces in play. Let's talk about how this is influencing, because even before people start to become a lead, they're sharing, they're clicking, they're posting, they're doing things. That's part of the lead up to the story. The climax is the lead. The lead comes in, you determine where in the sales funnel or the marketing funnel, where is that lead? Are they at the top of the funnel? Are they in the middle, or are they at the sales point? And then that is the then, now what happens after that, which is where my arc starts to fall off, because once they become a lead, they may be less inclined to do other things online, socially, but they are now in the client's lead base. So that's the arc, is getting them to actually have a tangible, oh my gosh, a lead came in through social media.
So when they see that, they obviously get excited. You would have had to have prepped them though, right? So in this case, you had, 6 months before you got your first comment, with this particular blog. Do they accept that or expect that ahead of time? Because they're used to not really, frankly, having much of a marketing funnel?
Yeah, we do a lot of prep work to help educate them about their profession. It's not like it's a consumer brand like an M&M,
right,
where people are expected to react very quickly. It's an industry that's not sexy. Forensics is sexy, but most of the other parts of the accounting profession are not too sexy. So we have to help them understand through other research that's done in the profession to help them say it's not going to happen in 3 weeks. It may not happen for 3 months or 6 months, but you can start to see an expectation happen between the 6 and 12 month time frame. So yeah, we do prep them for that.
Excellent. And so you're getting results. The CPAs are happy. You're driving more business, but you're also driving some education of, what they can provide, or is it education around their products or the industry? How do you approach your content strategy with them?
That's a really, really interesting question. First we have to know who their buyer is. So let's say you're a CPA who offers college financial planning. Mm-hmm. In your social media content, you're going to be talking about tips and techniques to fill out the FAFSA forms. You're going to talk about 529 college savings plans. You're going to be talking about budgeting and financial planning and helping your teenagers to understand what it means to have a credit card, what it means to have a credit report. Those kinds of things. It's not me pushing out the fact that I'm a financial planner. It's about, here are things that you can use in your everyday life that you can share with other people that they can probably use in their everyday life. Retirement planning, pensions, Social Security, estate planning, all of that stuff. Because when someone says this, oh my gosh, someone in my family just died. I've just inherited an estate. What do I do? Someone else will say, oh, I get this newsletter from my accountant about estate planning. You should take a look at that.
Yeah. And let me forward this.
Yeah. I say that because I lost 2 people in my family last month.
I'm sorry.
Had I not been involved in this profession, I would have not had a clue where to point my mother to go.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea. I've never been in that position before.
Right. Yeah.
So that's how it works.
And it's powerful.
It is.
Becky, this has been really fantastic. Thank you so much for giving us some really good things to think about. But I always like to end the show with asking our guests, is there one thing that our audience could be doing today to really have impact with their social media marketing? What would that one thing be?
For me, the one point is scheduling.
Oh, okay.
The reason I talk about scheduling is because 6 months down the road, you're not going to remember what you did on August 8th, 2014 that caused a spike or a valley to happen in your analytics, in your marketing, in lead generation. You're not going to remember. You're too busy. So by having a marketing plan or at least a social media schedule, you can go back and say, what did we do on August 8th? It's so helpful.
Oh, brilliant, actually. That is so powerful because you can have all the analytics in the world, you know, on your mm-hmm. website to know when those spikes have, but if you have nothing to point to what exactly caused that, you know, you're not learning from your past successes.
Exactly. I just went through this with a client. I said, something happened in June. What did you do? Because I don't manage all of her marketing. And she said, we didn't do anything. I said, you must have done something.
Right.
And she said, oh, we changed our newsletter distribution to Sunday night instead of Monday morning.
Oh,
there you go.
Light bulb goes off.
Yep. There you go.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Becky, thank you so much for being on the show.
Glenn, thank you for having me.
How can people get in touch with you?
Well, of course, we're online at Penheel. That's P-E-N-H-E-E-L, like the pen in the shoe, penheel.com. You can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Google+, Pinterest, Twitter. We're all over the place. Any of those platforms we post on almost on a daily basis. And we're also available via phone at 201-785-7840.
Fantastic. Becky, thank you again.
Thanks, Glenn.
And thank you to everyone else for listening to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media.
You've been listening to Amp Up Your Social Media on the FIR Podcast Network, brought to you in association with Lawrence Reagan Communications, serving communicators worldwide for more than 35 years. You'll find more information at www.reagan.com. That's R-A-G-A-N. Amp Up Your Social Media is a podcast about how to get the most out of social media, hosted by Glenn Gaudette of Gaggle Amp. Amp Up Your Social Media is part of the FIR Podcast Network, a series of business podcasts founded by Neville Hobson and Shel Holtz. The anchor podcast is the Hobson and Holtz Report, a weekly show presented since January 2005. For more information about FIR, to see show notes for the podcasts, and to subscribe, visit www.forimmediaterelease.biz. You can also subscribe via iTunes and other podcast directories. We welcome your comments about Amp Up Your Social Media. Join the conversation in the FIR community on Google+. Look for the FIR Podcast Community or email us at FIRcomments@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.